Sustainable Idaho is a collaboration between the Portneuf Resource Council and the ISU Sustainability Club.
Welcome to Sustainable Idaho, the show where we explore the economic, societal, and environmental implications of sustainability within Idaho. I'm Scott Greaves.
And I'm Rachel McGovern. This week on Sustainable Idaho, we're exploring the topic of salmon in Idaho's rivers. Over the summer, Sustainable Idaho, hosted by Chris Brown, investigated the economics of this issue. Chris tackled how competing energy, transportation, and business interests have degraded salmon and steelhead populations.
Yes, and you can listen back to this episode within the Sustainable Idaho program link on KISU.org. But this week, we embark on a two-part journey to explore the ecological and cultural importance of salmon in Idaho.
So a Chinook salmon is a salmon that's native to Idaho. They are born in freshwater in central Idaho. They migrate to the ocean and they come back to spawn. Once a salmon spawns, it dies.
You're hearing from Rachel Brinkley, a graduate student in biology at Idaho State University, who has been working on salmon projects for the U.S. Forest Service.
So Idaho salmon face the longest migration with the highest elevation gain of any salmon population in the world. So they're extra unique and extra special. And then they are unique in that they're the only pump, essentially, that will push nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus from the ocean back upstream. They put on 95% of their mass in the ocean. Then they die, they release that nitrogen and phosphorus to freshwater systems. And also serve as a food resource for animals. There's 137 different animal species that rely on salmon for part of their life cycle.
As Rachel Brinkley highlighted, salmon are a crucial part of the ecosystem, so much so that they're even considered a keystone species. This means that scientists consider them vital for ecosystem functioning because many other species depend on them. Returning salmon transport millions of tons of nutrients from the nutrient-rich marine environment to the comparatively nutrient-poor freshwater ecosystem. This increases production at all levels of the food chain, from those at the bottom, like bacteria and algae, to those at the top, such as bears and humans.
However, while this journey is crucial for ecosystem health, it is far from easy.
So they complete this 900-mile journey back to Idaho. During that process, they have to pass 6 hydroelectric dams, multiple different reservoirs, and then they're finally back to spawn.
We asked Camden Kay, Rachel's colleague and fellow graduate student in biology, about how dams impede on salmon migration.
A big issue with these dams is they impede travel for these fish. So they get stuck in these reservoir systems for a long time where the water temperature is different, where they're exposed to predators for long periods of time. And it just makes their already arduous journey that much more difficult and really reduces their chances. Their chances are already slim due to the nature of what they do. Rachel knows a lot more than I do about the subject.
Well, so the upstream migration for salmon has always been pretty difficult, right? It's 900 miles, there's intensive elevation gain. It's never been an easy feat to go from the ocean and then back to freshwater. What's difficult, especially now with the dams, is the migration downstream. So baby salmon face upstream, and historically, they would wait until spring when there was high water and they would just float down to the ocean. It would take them a couple days. This journey from freshwater to the ocean that historically took a matter of days is now weeks, even a month or two to get to the ocean. But if you think now, right, if you're a baby salmon facing upstream and you go through a dam system and then you're in a reservoir and it's hot and the water's not moving and you're exposed to predators, there's greater chances of disease. That's what's especially detrimental to salmon migration, is the downstream to the ocean migration.
So this is really an upstream migration issue for adult salmon and a downstream migration issue for juvenile salmon. We asked Rachel Brinkley how all of this has impacted salmon populations in Idaho.
We do know that in Idaho streams, salmon have been reduced by 99%.
It's striking to hear that in Idaho, only 1% of the historical salmon population is returning to spawn. And as a result, salmon in the Snake River are considered threatened under the Endangered Species Act. But we asked Camden, why should this matter to the average Idahoan?
So salmon are important for a number of reasons. They've existed in these ecosystems for years and years and years, and they are a vital resource to indigenous peoples who have used them as food sources. They're incredibly important to Idaho's economy with these small fishing towns and these guide services where this is a big portion of their income on a yearly basis. But then also from a biological standpoint, when you alter these ecosystems, they can cause dramatic changes that are not just directly involved with these salmon. And this extends to the ocean too. These salmon are traveling down to the ocean in much fewer numbers than they used to. And this affects species that feed on them in the ocean, which can alter trophic cascades and cause certain species to become really abundant and others to become less abundant, where historically there's been that balance that's been formed because of these salmon.
Salmon, historically pre the dams, but you know, post-European settlement, fueled like a $3 billion industry in the Pacific Northwest. And that's substantially important economically to, like Camden mentioned, small communities. But also, historically, they had a lot of cultural importance to indigenous communities. There was a group in Central Idaho actually called the Salmon Eaters, and they had that name because they obviously heavily relied on salmon as a food resource.
Both Camden and Rachel have been working with the US Forest Service in the Frank Church Wilderness, conducting salmon surveys and helping to identify Chinook salmon reds, which are basically underwater nests where salmon have laid their eggs. I asked Camden about their work and what they hoped would be the benefits of identifying these reds.
No one's out there intentionally trying to damage this fragile species. I think a lot of it is based on just a lack of awareness. And so a big thing that we focus on is trying to educate people and help them become better stewards of these resources. And indigenous peoples were able to coexist and utilize these resources for many years in a responsible way. But now we're causing widespread impact to all of our ecosystems, but especially this fragile salmon species. Something that we really would like to improve on is just public awareness of these issues so that these fishermen and boaters that are out here can recognize these reds, be aware, be cognizant, and prevent further damage to this species.
I continued by asking Camden, what can people do to get involved with these issues?
So there's a lot of good organizations that help individuals to get involved and make positive impacts. One of them that does a phenomenal job at this is the Idaho Rivers United, which is a group that focuses on the conservation of Idaho's rivers. They will do this through a number of ways, by donating funds to certain conservation, ecosystem restoration services, but then they also will lobby our legislators to make these issues relevant and on the forefront of their minds, with things like dams being put in, mines being put in, things that will negatively impact these species.
I'd like to say thanks very much to both our guests this week. Next week, we will continue to explore the topic of salmon in Idaho's rivers, but from a Native American perspective. We will be speaking to Diana Yoop, who's a Native American interpreter for the US Forest Service and is an expert on the tribal history surrounding the Middle Fork of the Salmon. Diana is also known as the Lady of the River and is a descendant of Chief Pocatello, after which Pocatello is named. Join us for Sustainable Idaho, Tuesday morning at 7:35 a.m.
Sustainable Idaho airs Tuesday morning at 7:35. Thank you to our partners, the Portneuf Resource Council and ISU Sustainability Club. Links to this and past programs can be found at kisu.org.